Hey guys, welcome. My name is Brian Carlin. I am chairman of the elder board here, drummer, husband to my lovely wife Janet for 32 years, just celebrated this year. Thank you. Yeah. This is the annual business meeting of the church, and in our very rich tradition of 2 years, it's going to be not so much what you would expect out of a annual business meeting. So back in the day, when the Sadducees had tried to trip up Jesus and they fell short, the Pharisees got together and they got their smartest guy, their lawyer, together and said, hey, go ask him a tough question. So and he said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you know the answer. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment. In these, all the commandments and the prophets are summed up. The business of the church is more about learning to love than it is about buildings and budgets. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that, and then we'll talk a little bit about buildings and budgets. Kevin?
So this year we've decided, as we said, talked about last week, that we'd have a trifold focus this year. One would be building inroads into the community. You know, we've kind of set down roots right here in this place, in this Wildwood area, and it has impact beyond that and where we all live, but we want to build inroads into the community, and so that'll be a big focus for us. We also want to entrust the ministry. We want to give away the ministry to the people because of the priesthood of all believers, right? And so we're really trying to say this is all about us, not some sort of clergy class or elder class. That's ridiculous, right? This is about us as a people. And then third, in what Brian was just talking about, it was the fact that we want to ask and try to answer the incredibly simple but very difficult question is, what does it look like to love in any given situation? If that's what Jesus said was most important, then we want to do that. And so that we want even this meeting, where sometimes business meetings can tend to be a time where people kind of weirdly put on the boxing gloves and come out fighting. I've seen that in other churches, and you think, there's something nutty about that, right? And so this is about worshiping God and about celebrating what he's doing. One of the other things that we want to do this morning is we'll be, when we take in new members, the Constitution says that it's a three-quarters vote of the elders and then a vote of affirmation from the congregation. Just so you know, these 13 people who have asked to be members have unanimously been approved by the elders. And so I just want to introduce them and see if I could have you stand while you do it. First of all, Drew and Kaylin Carrier, I saw them earlier back here. So you guys, thank you. William and Linda Chamberlain, they're over here. Okay. Emily Christman is back here. Why don't you stand up just for a second? And why don't you stay standing, because Brad Roman, who is later, they're engaged in getting married in January. So they'll be new members. John and Phyllis Hain right here will be members. Jonathan Kearney, where are you at? Okay, over here. And then Becky Leathers. Downstairs making coffee. Okay. Michaela, where are you? She's over here. Oh, and Brad, and then Mark and Jennifer Ruskowski, right over here. So later this morning, we'll do a vote of affirmation for them, but we're just so excited for them to be a part of this and saying, hey, man, I'm driving my stake in the ground with you guys together, the body of Christ. Okay? Now, we're going to vote here in a little while. We're going to do a presentation. It's all yours.
Well, it's not all mine, but yeah. You gave me the church? Thank you.
Yeah, it's all yours.
Yeah, okay, great. So now we are going to do that little bit about buildings and budgets. We're going to keep this as brief as possible. So what's happened, as we did last year, this year we had two town hall meetings in which we invited anybody to come listen to our presentation about the budget this year. It's the only item we have to vote on. And ask questions to your satisfaction. So we did that. So this morning, we're going to present what we presented in the town hall meetings. We're not going to take questions. And then later in the service, we'll vote on whether to approve that budget or not. And we'll give you instructions on that a little bit later. But The guy on the elder team who has been working the most on this when it comes to the budgets and the numbers is Brad Pinnell. And so he's going to come up and walk us through the budget. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. So for those of you who like numbers, this is going to be energizing. And the rest of you, try to stay with me. Next slide, please. All right, so this is a review of where we ended up for the current fiscal year. So the fourth quarter, the column to the left of the last column there is an estimate. When we put the numbers together, we weren't through the full year yet, so just keep that in mind. But based on this, we estimate $695,000 in giving, spending of $547,000 against a budget of $537,000. So we overspent by about $10,000. I'll explain that in a couple of slides. But the difference between the income and expense is about $150,000, so very strong. It's very encouraging. Next slide. I'll try to jazz it up a little bit. All right. Always a critic. So financial position. So just that was Brian saying that. For those of you who couldn't hear, this is so boring. So current bank balances, when we put this together, is $400,000. We set an operational reserve of about 3 months of expenses, which is the $160,000 of that, and then that leaves $240,000 above and beyond the reserves. Next slide. So here's the 2015-2016 recap. Again, we had spending of $547,000 against a $537,000 budget for about a $10,000 difference. If you look at that, there's a note here that doesn't show up, but the little number one there. We did first fruits when we dedicated the building of $20,000. That's the primary reason that we were over. Otherwise, we were under on our spending. So again, good story. 2016-2017 budget, we're proposing a $32,000 increase over that $537,000 from last year. That is about 6%. To give you an idea, the budget the year before was about a 7% increase. So we're in the same range. That puts us to a proposed budget of $569,000. Now, to keep in your head, I showed you that giving earlier, which is very strong. I think it was 647, if I remember the number. We're estimating, so we take the budget numbers and kind of smooth them out because we've got some one-time giving. We've got December giving that's stronger. We smooth those out so it doesn't skew the averages. And so we estimate about $608,000 in giving against this $569,000, just to give you an idea. It will probably be more than that, again, as you add December and some of the other stuff that has typically occurred. Next slide. So here's just a quick budget breakdown. I'll leave this up here for a second, but it basically gives you a line item view of kind of where we were when we budgeted last year, where we ended up for each line item, and then what that looks like for this coming fiscal year, which starts in September. Interesting thing is we had the additional facility of $31,000 last year when we were looking for space for the youth and offices and that sort of thing. That $31,000 has now turned into a mortgage, almost the same number. So that's kind of a cool thing. So, you know, some of the bigger items are the general ministries. You'll notice that's the spending was there higher in outreach ministry. Good things there in terms of reaching out to the community. Next slide. So the building renovation, so we started with a budget of $230,000. It says $240,000 here. We did have $10,000 we got back from Central Present, a reduction of the building cost to fix the siding, so we added that in. That's where the $240,000 came from. We planned to spend, once I kind of sat down and put everything together, $253,000. Of that, we spent $213,000. So there's $40,000 left over that is allocated for projects that just haven't been done. So we're going to move that money to this coming year. To get those things done. It's things like $16,000 for the house, some trenching around the building, some tech spending, those types of things that are allocated, just not done yet. And so we've moved that to this page. So think of the top part of this as other expenses as being building the building. So we're going to put another $30,000 in that we haven't been able to spend on the house, add that $16,000 to it that we're moving with the $40,000 to get the house operational, if you will, offices, furniture, and then we've got a furniture, fixtures, and equipment line of $10,000 there as well. Planned repairs and maintenance. So there's a potential, there is an issue with septic and sewer that we're still investigating. We're not sure what it's going to cost us to fix it. So we put $25,000 in here to be safe. And there's also an additional $5,000 to replace the air conditioning unit that's running the foyer here because it's as old as the building. And we think it's costing us quite a bit on utilities. And then we've got the renovation carryover, that $40,000 for the that we had allocated for this year that we're going to move to next year. On the bottom, think of this as build the kingdom. So we don't want to be just spending money on ourselves. So we're recommending another $15,000 above and beyond what we put in the budget for outreach and benevolence to spend on outreach ministries. So we think that's a healthy thing for us to do. The overall impact then is that we keep the $160,000 reserve that we have in there, and that lowers our cash balance from that 240 to 115. Now keep in mind, some of these things like the septic sewer may cost us less money. But giving has been strong. We've been blessed in that area. And we think this is a pretty good proposal for this. Oh, yeah, we do have printouts available. Next slide. And so this is last year, Keith, when he did this, he had a healthy church type of a pie chart that we didn't put that here. But when we finished with this budget, we put the pie chart together. If you put those things side by side, they're pretty much dead on in terms of 50% or so on staffing. And then the other things, we're spending money on programs, only 8% on properties. To give you an idea of the conservativeness of that, that's just the mortgage. And I added all repairs and maintenance into that, even though they may not be on the building. And we're still only at 8% of our budget is spent on the property. Okay.
Thanks, Brad. For those of you that don't really groove on the numbers, it's thumbs up. Okay, so it looks good. Just that's what that looks like. Really been blessed. Giving exceeding expenses. We've had some wonderful one-time gifts that helped us out, but our continuous giving is trending upward as well. It's all just good. We're all very generous. Thanks. It's a neat thing. Buildings and budgets don't exactly groove me, but it's neat when God's people come together like that. Okay, we have just ruined an entire next generation of kids about how exciting church can be. So we're going to get to them, which will become a little more exciting. And really what we want to do is move from buildings and budgets into stories of what God is doing, the business of our church, if you will. And so we're going to start with Quest Kids and Karen and the kids. Come on, guys.
Come along here and stand. Where's Elise? Right here. Okay. We had an exciting summer in that we challenged the children this year to do a feeding program in Haiti. And we had found out that after the Haiti trip last year that the kids, it costs 35 cents a day to feed the children. And it's they get one meal a day of beans and rice. So we started off the summer by trying a meal of beans and rice with the kids. And we challenged them to raise money for the food. And so Elise is going to tell you how many meals that they bought.
We raised enough money for 892 meals.
Yeah. You going to do the challenge?
Hey, you guys, it was just really inspiring when Karen shared with the staff what these guys did. And we have a real connect with Haiti, and John's going to share about that in a minute. But what we wanted to do is give you guys as a congregation to come alongside the children and be a part of what is given to the Haiti feeding program. So if you guys are inspired to do that and want to do that, just in the memo field, you can write Haiti feeding program, and then you can be a part of what they're doing as well. So, all right?
Yeah. And I just want to say over there in the board, we were going to bring the board up, but we didn't. Each of those bowls represented one of the 35 cents. Now, there's a whole bunch more downstairs, but we couldn't bring them all up. So the kids just did a really, really good job, and it's amazing the heart that they have. So.
Woohoo!
Good job, kids. All right, hey, John, would you come up? And this is directly tied to a ministry that we've had in Haiti now. This next year will be our third year going. We were able to work on the school and the feeding facility for Pastor Fogos. That's what the pictures were. And John leads that team, so I wanted him to share about what's going on.
Okay, good. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, we're building a relationship with a mission in Haiti called WISH, West Indies Self-Help. 2 years ago, you'll recall, we built a stone house for a woman down there and her family. They were living in a corrugated tin shack. Last year, as was already talked about, we worked on a place for the feeding program in one of the schools that a church in Haiti runs. And we go to the island of La Gonâve. I heard a statistic on the radio the other day about Haiti that said that 60% of the population of Haiti lives on less than $2 a day. So we go to the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. This year, we've been blessed. Last 2 years, we had one team go each for a week. This year, we have two teams going. So we'll be on the island of La Gonâve. Quest will be represented the first week of February and then again the second week of February. So I wanted to ask the people that are going to Haiti to stand. If you're planning to go to Haiti with us in February, would you stand? All right. Hear, hear. Steve and I are going as well, so that's why we're standing. That's right. There's actually a total of 15 people going. Four of them are going from a sister church, Bethesda Evangelical. They're going to be observing Kevin and his teaching of the Haitian pastors, and the hope is that Bethesda will get involved and do another teaching week down there as well. So this year we've been challenged by the missionaries at WISH to help them build a pavilion in the youth center. The youth center has been kind of out of commission for years. I know they're already working to fix it up. We're going to continue that effort by building this pavilion and doing other tasks that they will help us identify on the weeks that we are down there. So thank you for your support, and remember to pray for the people of Haiti.
Hey, thanks, John. So now we wanted to transition and share with you guys. We've been doing something the last several years. It's called Serve St. Louis, and it's usually every October. This year it's October 8th. If you guys got the slide for that that you can show. Okay. And so we're going to have and we're going to watch a video right now. How about that?
Let your light shine so that others will see your good work and will praise your Father in heaven.
Serve St. Louis has grown from a few churches with a vision to help their communities to a region-wide effort where people from all over the area help others.
We're called to give back and be the hands and feet of God.
It's our duty as Christians to serve others when they need help.
God tells us to be there for others.
We're working together as a unified and coordinated effort to do more and to do it better than ever.
God wants us to help people as much as we can, and by serving St. Louis, we are able to do some of His work.
Mary Elizabeth was one of those people in need.
I didn't get no welfare, no food stamps or nothing.
Through Serve St. Louis, she encountered Gary, a man walking the talk and serving others the way God directs us to.
We didn't have no heater.
A person of her age without hot water.
Gary, he came in. It doesn't even make a lot of sense. He brought some pipes and stuff.
She needed a hot water tank. She needed a furnace.
And he worked them all day long and put it in there in my hot water tank. And he worked hard down there.
I see so many people that need help.
God wants us to get outside of the church walls and let people in our community know they matter to us. Last year, almost 5,500 people served. And now you can too. We're people overflowing with love, the love of Jesus. And this love can help change the world.
We become more like Jesus when we act like Him and when we're led by the Holy Spirit to love and serve the body of Christ and other people.
I can't swing a hammer very well. I can't saw a piece of wood very well, but I can cook a meal.
I think telling people that we care, reaching out and just and doing something, and not just saying something, I think is so much more powerful than just talking it.
In a me, me, me society, it's great to see people thinking of others.
Just really felt like we were doing something.
Makes me feel better about myself to help others.
If I'm in need, I would definitely want somebody to be there doing whatever they could. So I owe that to anybody else.
I've had some of the most amazing experiences in my life with regard to service.
A lot of people are doing good, but we don't always serve together like we could be. This is a chance for us to come together and join forces and do a great good in the community.
We invite you to join us and serve St. Louis. In doing that, we'll be showing love to our neighbors.
That's what it's all about.
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 Come on, St. Louis, let's serve.
So that is what it's all about. And these projects, they do make a difference in people's lives and in the communities that these projects take place. So I've asked Rick to share a story from last year's community garden project that he worked on. So, go
ahead. Thanks, Steve. I promised Steve that I would behave myself, so we'll see how that goes for us. So. Well, last year, as you, many of you know, we worked on the community garden. A lot of you worked on the garden. There's a handful of us that worked on putting in a new floor for Miss Lovey. So that worked out really well. We worked all day Saturday on that, but we didn't finish it. So myself and a guy that worked with me, Dave, he and I went back on Monday to finish up. So, and while we're working on the floor, I was telling Dave about the community garden that you guys did, and he goes, I want to see that. So when we finished cleaning up the tile and we put all their stuff in the truck and we walked over to see the garden, a St. Louis police officer pulled up in his cruiser, and we started talking to him. We introduced ourselves that we were with Quest Church, and he said we were working on the garden and also put in a new floor for Miss Lovey. So he just kind of paused a minute, and he said, you guys did a really good thing here for the community. So that made me feel real good, and I was talking to Steve about it the other day, and he goes, hey, would you mind sharing that with the congregation? Of course, I said no, but anyway, I guess my point to this whole thing is we have an effect on both ourselves and the community, so let's keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Thank you. So you see the projects up there that we're doing this year. We're going to be doing the community garden thing again. We have Soldier's Wish List, and these cards right here are items that we need for the care packages. They're over on the counter, and we'll be handing them out afterwards. We're going down to the well. They focus on the immigrant and refugee community. And then we are going to go play games and have snow cones with a nursing home that we've done some stuff with in the past and just love on the residents right there where they're at and just have a great time with them. So sign-ups right over there at the ministry table. There's a laptop up, so you can even just go and click on it. Or you can go to the website, which is servestlouis.org. So I would encourage you guys. These things fill up fast because it's promoted on Joy FM, and all the people through the St. Louis community can register for these projects as well. So get out there and sign up early. And you're going to have a good time and make a difference for the community. Now, I want to tell you how, or hand it over to Kevin, how God is working through Quest in another way, through benevolence.
Tom, Wilkinson, if you come up too. We do want to say, you know what, the Christian church is not just a religious united way. So that we just do good things. There is a gospel, there's a message behind it of a Christ who gave himself to die for us. But sometimes you have to kind of, there has to be something that gives it some oomph, to give it some credibility. And part of that is even just giving to those who are in need. So this past year, I want you to know that as a church, kind of in a united way, we gave $26,000 to people both inside of our church and outside of our church to meet real needs in real ways. Now, I can't tell you all those stories specifically because I want to respect the privacy and the integrity of those people. But everything from a woman whose home, she bought a foreclosed home, and the thing's a disaster. And we went in to do a little bit of help, and we figured out we can't start with what she wants because we'll just cover up all sorts of problems. And so we have to start at the real issue here and started down in their plumbing and making the real plumbing, a plumbing system that had no vents, no nothing that was going to make it function. And so starting there and kind of developing from there. To the families who have lost loved ones and couldn't pay for funerals. And so on and so forth. But we'd love to see that increase, but you as a church have made that happen. But also we got to do some other things that was really, frankly, Tom urging us as an elder team to accomplish.
Okay, as you recall, when we had our grand opening, but the dedication, we had the opening before, but the dedication that we had designated $20,000 as a first fruits giving, that if we were going to spend a couple hundred thousand dollars on the building for ourselves, that we would tithe as well to the outside. And so we did that, and I was just going to give a little update on those ministries. As you may recall, we gave to Radiant Church Plant. We gave to The Well. moving on to Radiant. Radiant right now are doing preview services. They have the third one next Sunday at Rockwood South Middle. That means they're doing kind of what we did at Crestview, and they're going in and just setting up and having a service and training for their launch, which is October the 16th, will be their launch to have their first service open to the public at Rockwood South Middle. They are continuing to grow, some in numbers, and in these next few weeks we'll be really going into a time of prayer and fasting to prepare for that time. And one prayer request that we might have for Radiant and for The Well is, you know, as you recall, we gave them physical gifts of the trailers that the one we weren't using and the one we purchased that was here with this building that we purchased separately to give to The Well. They both need vehicles to pull those trailers with. They still are lacking trucks to pull those trailers with. So that can be a prayer request for them. And to pray for Radiant during these coming weeks as they prepare for their launch as a church there in at Rockwood South Middle.
Great. Okay, I think it's amazing to touch the Muslim world where people are dying for their faith, literally being martyred for their faith, and to touch that. A church here in their local area that we're helping plant. And then to reach immigrants, because if we want to reach the world, part of the world came to us. And so with the immigrant church, that's an exciting thing. So that and all sorts of other things we're doing as a church, but part of it is fueled by our budget. So Brian's going to come up and help you accomplish that.
Kids are out of the room. We can get back to the boring stuff. Thanks, you guys. I think it's great that we gave two trailers and they don't have anything to pull them with. What? Oops. It's just that... You know, ministry's a little messy sometimes. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So when you came in, somebody red carded you. You got a red card, right? So, yeah. With absolutely nothing on it because we run pretty quick here. So really, there's one vote we need to vote on this morning as a church based on our constitution and bylaws, and that is whether or not to approve the budget that was presented. So if you would kindly right now, and we'll have some gentlemen come and collect. If you need pens, Jake is holding up pens. Jake, the newly engaged Jake. Katie. And if you could write either a yes or a check mark. Don't put a thumbs up because we don't know if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Depends on how we turn the table, the paper. So, and we'll have somebody collect that in just a moment. And then we're going to hear some more stories about what we're doing. And then just before the end of the service, we'll have Brad's going to come up and give us the results of that vote. Hopefully it'll pass because we have no idea what to do if it doesn't. So. All right, if you have them done, just go ahead and raise them up in the air. The guys will be by to pick it up. Guys, don't run off yet because I got mine in my hip pocket here. So, all right, time for Team Shoecart. I think, yeah. So Jake and Jeff are going to share with us now really what's happening in the student ministry.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, everybody. Hey, how are you? Thank you. Thanks, Rickster. Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you guys a secret. She's back there in the back, so you can check out the ice later. Check out the bling. Okay, hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jake Shoecart, and I'm the director of student ministries here at Quest. And if you're a student in here, if you either currently attend or have attended something with our youth group, stand up. Stand up right here in the room. Yeah, so you guys can look around, see some of our students that are here. We know that obviously with our connection with First Free, there are still a lot of students, especially early on, that still had a connection there, and that was great. I love Don and Andrew and those guys over there at First Free, and we have a great relationship, and so we love students, and we love hanging out with students most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. We love hanging out with them. We love walking through life with them, doing stuff with them. And so we have an amazing team of leaders, of volunteer leaders that are there on Wednesday nights doing small groups and hanging out with the kids. We have leaders that are calling and texting kids during the week, going to football games, going to dance recitals, doing all sorts of things. So if you're a volunteer leader, if you help out with the youth group on Wednesday nights, do you guys stand up? And stay standing. Stay standing, please. Stay standing, Michaela. So you've got, as they go by, Mom and Pop Shoe up here. You've got Jim Moore right here who does the middle school boys. So extra prayer for him, please. John Kearney, a new soon-to-be member, and he also does the middle school boys. So pray for him. Michaela and Alicia. And then you also have John and Lindsay Gandlin, who are helping with the kids downstairs and also help out on Wednesday nights with us. So, yeah, and am I missing anybody? Oh, and then Brad Nelson, he also helps with the middle school boys. So we have just an amazing team. You guys can sit down now. We have a pretty amazing team. Yeah, give it up for them. A pretty amazing team of leaders that make it happen, because if I had to do it all on my own, I would lose my mind for sure. But I think as we have a little slideshow here of just some of the events that we have done lately, and I'll just let this run through. I think it's, there it is. So your guys are going to see a bunch of fun pictures from our ugly sweater Christmas party. You're going to see some pictures from camp. You're going to see pictures of us ice blocking. Yeah. There. Let me tell you guys, if you want to see some intensity out of your students, tell them that there's a competition of the ugliest sweater. Because Ben Hicks, let me tell you guys, that dude, I don't think he takes anything more seriously than winning every year. And he always brings it. Yeah. So we've got some pretty great pictures, and we have a blast doing a white elephant, ugly sweater. There's a picture of a good group of the leaders. We went and we played bubble soccer. So basically, you just run into each other with these big plastic bubbles. And let me tell you, I have never had more fun hurting children than as I've had when I got to run into some of our kids with those bubbles. It gets a lot of anger out as a youth pastor, let me tell you that much. Hey, those things are hot, though. Man, are they hot. But we also, you'll see some pictures here probably pretty soon of camp, and we took about 20 students or so to camp, and we went to Lake Williamson in Carlinville, Illinois, And it was an amazing, amazing experience. We had a great time. We go with several other churches from all over Missouri and from other states that come to this camp. And it's an amazing time because supposedly these stats are that 70% of students that accept Christ do so at a camp or retreat. So there's just something about being away from kind of your everyday, your normalcy of life, being in that camp environment, having that fellowship, that worship, that solid teaching that makes it amazing. And so, here's some pictures. Our two seniors decided to coordinate their outfits every day, so that was fun to see. Rocking the Florida palm tree shirts. And so we had a great time at camp, and it was an amazing experience. And then the last few pictures that you'll probably see on there after these go through are from our ice blocking event. So if you don't know what ice blocking is, you get a block of ice about yay big, and you sled down a hill. You sit on it, and you can sled down a hill on this block of ice, and it is an absolute blast. It is a ton of fun. It is just wet and gross and nasty, and let me tell you, it helps to have a smaller backside. I struggled a little bit. But it helps having a smaller backside. And so we had a great time. And so youth ministry, guys, it's such the formative years for kids. What Karen is doing is so vitally important. But the middle school and high school years are so formative for who students are, for what they believe in, for what they're going to stand for who they're going to be friends with, for what they're going to follow. And so we get just a small opportunity to walk through life with those students, to jump in and to say, guys, listen, you're going to have a lot of things pulling at you through these years, but there should be nothing more important than the pull that Christ has and the influence that he has in your everyday lives. And so that's what we try to do on a weekly basis with these students. And we know that there's a ton of things in the world that are pulling kids every which direction. And so it's challenging. Those parents of students that have students right now in middle school or high school, you guys know that pull. You know that struggle of where kids are being drawn and what is attacking them on a regular basis. And so we just love your kids. We love being a part. And so if you have a student that is currently middle school, or that'd be 6th grade through 12th grade age, if you have a friend that has kids that are that age, if your kids have friends, if you know of anybody that you feel like that this would be something that they could benefit from, talk to us, let us know. Let me talk to their friends, their parents. We just want to bless as many students as we can through our ministry. And so, So thank you guys for giving us the opportunity. And now Mom and Pop Shoe are going to come up and tell you guys a little bit about what the young adults are doing.
Thanks, Jake. So what's that?
I didn't get the ice blocking on there, Jake. You can dock my salary.
Yeah. He doubled our pay this last year,
yeah,
though.
3-0.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the young adults. I'm really talking about it, but the reality is Lisa, my wife, it really is the organizer of a lot of this stuff. She saw a need there, and like she does in so many other ways, met that need. And so, from life stage perspective, there's a lot of life stages, and we're trying to meet so many of them, men's and women's ministries. Jake talked about the youth programs, but there's really this 18 to 30-year-olds, and the 18 to 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds are typically either in college or they're going away to the military or they're starting careers or things like that. But in particular, there's this 22 to 30-year-olds that don't have families yet. So it's mostly singles, maybe dating or engaged now, or even married, but without children. It's a different life stage than those. We have a lot of young families that have kids, and that's awesome, and they do some events together as well. But we saw this need, or Lisa really saw this need, for this 22 to 30-ish age, single or dating or married or engaged, that really we could come around them and share experiences together. We could impart some wisdom upon them, what little we have, We could really open up some topics of discussion to really get them to think about what it is that's going on in their lives and how they can apply their faith in their daily walk at work, in graduate school, in other areas of their lives. And so we've been doing that for the last year. Lisa came up with the idea. We meet every other Sunday night, and we're doing a kickoff event. So I'm going to turn it over to Lisa to talk about the kickoff event.
Okay, great. Rick, I didn't promise Steve I'd behave, so I gotcha. So we are going to start off again this fall, and really the whole idea kind of was born out of the fact that I was a hot mess after college. The fact that it took me quite a long time to get out of college speaks for itself. But so in the 22-ish to 32-ish, one-ish age, yeah, it's really challenging. And so we they go from college and having their best friends next door and to 2 a.m. Taco Bell runs to having to work possibly or find a job or do these adult things. And so it's really complicated, and we expect a lot out of them. And to be honest, when I look back between 21 and 26, I was doing nothing right. And I was not definitely connecting in the way I should be. I was connecting socially, but I wasn't connecting. So I just thought, you know, what can we do different with that? How can we bring them together? So every other Sunday, this past year, we've been coming, basically, they've been coming to our house. And we average about 18 to, you know, probably 22 young adults, and it's been fun. We don't really have a plan. Go figure. We wing it. We kind of shoot from the hip, but
one of the things we did this last year.
Yeah, we always have food though, so that draws them in.
And we got topics from them that they wanted to talk about,
right.
And so we really talked about that. We'd open up discussion. I'd throw Bible verses out there to talk about that and really say, you know, what does this mean, or how does this apply to what we're talking about? And so it was great. And so we'll probably continue to do a lot of that same thing.
Yeah. So we just kind of, we keep our ears and our eyes open for relevant, you know, things that are happening around them in their age group. And if any of you can remember where you were in between 22 and even 30, you know, you're going to kind of have that little smirk on your face and go, oh yeah, yeah, what was that? So we come together, we eat, we have fun, we have fellowship. This Saturday night, the 17th, we're going to meet here. We're going to take over the building, and in a good way, Kevin, I'm just kidding. And you know, we're just gonna come here, we're gonna play games. We like to play, we like to have fellowship, we like to eat, we like to drink in the right way. And we're just gonna clear out. This is really a gym. It's actually a Pokemon gym as well. And so we're just gonna hang out, and we're just gonna fellowship and just look out for each other. And you know, I know when Jake first moved out of the house, I remember saying he spent like $80 on light bulbs, you know, and it was just kind of, I kind of chuckled because, you know, there's a lot of things that they don't have to do after during college that they do when they are no longer really, you know, under their parents' umbrella. So, yeah, so if you know anyone, and just, there's no pressure, you know, just come. If you know somebody, your neighbor, they don't have to be coming to Quest. We have a lot of couples or guys, gals that come just because they know people. So yeah, just you know, suggest that, and I think that's really all. We're gonna have some food, and so we'll see how it goes. I definitely think there's a need for college ministry. I just put a little plug in there. So if anybody really feels on their heart, it's a little different of a ministry. It's a challenging one because you have some kids that are away and some kids that are here, staying in St. Louis, but you know, it's possible, and you just have to be someone that's intentional. Maybe do a little bit more through the, you know, the mail or old school, or you actually just host one or two events throughout a year when they're on breaks. So, yeah, so if anybody has a real heart for that, let me know. Come talk to me, and I've got some great ideas. But unfortunately, we can't combine them all because there's definitely different seasons of life after you graduate college.
So I think that's it.
Who's up next? Beyonce? Special guest. She's in town, you know.
Oh, yeah. Tom's going to come up, and we're going to have a time of prayer.
Sorry.
We go from that to serious. You want to start, Tom? And we're going to have a bit of a time of prayer now, just praying for all that we've been talking about, the various ministries that we have, the blessings that we've been given, not just with this building, but by the community, which is more importantly, and truly the church, as well as, you know, just the many things going on in our lives. So I'm going to let Tom open, and then I'll close us.
Another thing we want to commemorate today, as you know, is as you heard, is the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and so we want to commemorate that as well today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this body of believers that you have put together here in Quest. Father, we are thankful for the resources that you have provided, Lord, that in this past year, we now have a home. We have a physical home that we can be in. We also thank you, Father, for the provision of even excess funds, Father, for all the ministries that we do. So, Father, we are thankful. We are thankful people, and Lord, we are just blessed to be part of your church and to be part of this body. Father, as we think about 9/11, and Father, we just pray for the loved ones and families of the 3,000 people that perished that day this morning 15 years ago. Father, we just pray that as believers, Father, that we put our hands in your sovereignty and your providence, Father, and we just pray for your justice and your mercy that and your sovereign hand over this world, Lord. And we just pray that we wouldn't look to kings and chariots and horses, Father, to be the answer, but to your sovereign hand to be our protector, Father, and to bring peace into the world. Father, we just pray for the chaos that has ensued from that and the continued terrorism throughout the world and the displaced peoples and the loss of life that has taken place, Father. And so we just give this up to you and to your sovereign hand. Father, we pray for the opportunity we have here to reach out into the world, into the Muslim world, into the inner city here in St. Louis, into the community around us here at Quest, Father, and just help us to be a people that desire to be a part of our community here, in our local schools and community, as well as to the outer reaches of the world. So, Father, help us to be faithful stewards, to continue to give freely into the ministries that you have, Father. And we just are thankful for our children's ministries, Father, and for all the volunteers that are there each and every Sunday leading our kids, Father, and leading them closer to Christ. And Lord, we are thankful for the leadership that we have in our children's ministry.
And Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have showered upon this body, Lord. We thank you for the many gifts that you've given to those here and those not able to join us this morning, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for those that you're going to bring into this body in this next year, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to come around each other, Lord, and just demonstrate the love that you've shown us. And Lord, we just thank you for the staff that work so diligently on your behalf, Lord, and our behalf as well, Lord. We thank you for Kevin and the leadership he provides, for Steve and his heart for missions and outreach, for Jake and the youth ministry, for Beth and all that she does here, for Karen, as Tom mentioned, and her heart for children that she's had for so many years, Lord. We just thank you for all the volunteers, Lord, the way in which you've placed things upon the people's hearts here in this room, Lord, to share the gifts that you've gifted them with, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. We praise you and thank you for the opportunities you've given us to do outreach, Lord, both locally and internationally. And we heard about some of that today, Lord, but there's also Germany and there's just many other places, Lord, that you have the keys and how they're serving in Bulgaria. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you'd make clear to us the ways in which you want us to love on each other
each and every day, as well as all the ways in which you want us to serve and honor you in that way, Lord. We thank you again for this morning and the blessings. We thank you for the band and the praise and worship that they've given and the opportunity to worship you in many, many different ways, Lord. We praise you and thank you, and we say all this in your name. Amen.